people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store. I was born one morning when the sun didn't shine. I picked up my shovel and I walked to the mine. I loaded 16 tons of number 9 coal, and the straw boss said, well, to bless my soul, you load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store. I was born one morning, it was drizzling rain. Fighting and trouble are my middle name. I was raised in the canebrake by an old mama lion. Can't no high tone woman make me walk the line. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store. If you see me coming, better step aside. A lot of men didn't, a lot of men died. One fist of iron, the other of steel. If the right one don't get you, then the left one will. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Lady. Along in all of our circumstances, sometimes in a better frame of mind than others, and we thank Jesus for all of them. Thank God, we trust Him for all these things, and the future, as we wait and watch and do as He leads us to do. Hi, everybody. This is Jerry, and. Yeah, it has been another day. Sorry, I wasn't really planning on doing this, but I'm going to do it. It's been another day. Shaking under my feet, but that's okay, because I know I'm going to get out, because the movie's not over, because you know the hero can't die till at least the end, right? Anyway, ha ha ha. So we march on, bravely, timidly, marching on, in some way or another. So here we go. The Lord led me to some... let me just say hi, everybody. We have Rosemary and a guest in line. Hi. Love you, Rosemary. And we have Mama Pat, who just called in a couple minutes ago. Hi, Mama Pat. Let me open you up.
Hi, guys. Hi, Love Pat. You all. Hi, chat. Oh, interesting vids.
Yeah, I found a lot of that you sent out very interesting. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Holy shkamole. It just keeps
going
on.
Yeah, a lot of stuff out there, you know. It's,
oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
Ay, 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 ay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So.
Wow. Yeah. Ay, dear God.
Well, you know.
Right?
Oh, well, it's just more
God
and more.
Have mercy.
I
mean,
I have been intensely focused on the things around me, and so honestly, I think it was yesterday. I talked to Judy, and I was look. I'm really in the mix here, so I won't belabor the point, but it has. You know, I don't really have time to digest a bunch of the news right now. And to tell you the truth, Judy she mentioned something, boy, the news today is really wild. And I said, well, I haven't really seen any of it. And I said, and at the time I was sort of vacantly staring out a window up into the sky. And I was thinking, you know, the only real news I'm interested in is if I see missiles flying overhead. If I see that, I'm interested. You know what?
Other than that, really,
none of the hoi polloi, none of the disinformation, none of the schadenfreude, none of that junk. You guys in the media, you yak all day long, and, you know, planes are brought down, or they're not brought down, or they really were brought down, or they really weren't, and blah, blah, blah. So anyway, I'm like, yeah, okay, you know, you guys are pretty weak. All you purveyors of doom, you're just pretty weak. Now, God's doing a good job of messing this nation up. He said he was going to do it. We got that word, and he's doing it, and he's doing a fine job of it. Make no mistake. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, he has sent the son of perdition, and I actually have a picture of Obama on his red horse. No joke. I do. I may send it out to our mailing list. Now, it's not going to be what you expect, but it literally is Obama riding a red horse. So,
oh my God.
And but not in the way you think. But still, it's still prophetic, and war has, and all the other destruction is being brought, and this is all a squeezing of people's consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Consciousness as, wow. Well, anyway, so I'm not claiming mental clarity today, so I can get by with a lot. let this be a warning and advisement, a content advisement. There is no pretense here to clarity of thinking today. We will just see what happens. But anyway, here we are, and what a mess things are. They keep getting worse. They're ramping it up. Who knows? Who's going to pull the trigger first? Who's going to pull the trigger first? Is it going to be the New World Order? Is it going to be the infamous unknown perpetrator? Is it going to be who shot JR? Or is it going to be God? And God has already pulled the trigger. And
yeah.
Everything you see is at his allowance. So get in God and get your popcorn.
Yeah. Yep. So we have mudslides in Brazil and the three blood moons. Everybody's freaking out over. There's three of them over the Sea of Galilee. They can't figure it out. Somebody said it's reflection of that planet X, but that's out to lunch on that. And Mount Rainier might be ready to go, so we're watching that, you know, so smoking and rumbling.
I say it's a reflection of God's forehead, and he's pissed. That's
yes. Good one. Yes, yes, he is. Yes, he is. And if you read Julie from Behold I Come and the rest, he's not a happy camper at all.
No.
Nah. Oh, my. And the one that I sent you on, the guy with the glasses, Brother Bob, I forget his name.
Oh,
he's a sweet person.
Oh, yeah,
person.
John.
That
yeah,
were all guests
guy,
that
yeah.
were not the bride. I mean, if I'm asking someone to figure that out for me, you know.
Yeah, you know,
everybody
say,
oh,
about,
yeah.
You know what he did in that video, Pat, because I did watch it all just before
yeah,
the show.
Yeah.
And what
hey.
He did is he talked for 16 minutes about what he was going to talk about, and he never talked about what he said he was going to talk about.
Till the end.
And then he said he was going to make another video. So I went to his website to see if he'd made the other video yet, and he hasn't.
No, but what is this about being a guest, not the bride? And the guest comes three
well,
years later after the trip. The bride comes 3 years later. I mean,
you
totally lost me. I'm kind of dim as it is, and then
well,
you just really
actually,
threw the towel over me.
Here's his thing. He is recognizing that the remnant of Israel as a bride. And
okay.
I know, without doubt, that is a true thing.
Okay.
However, I think there are two brides. He was presenting what he was presenting in the nature as if there was one bride. And so what he was really getting at was, because he believes there's only one bride, and because he can see that the Israel remnant bride isn't joined with God until the end of the wrath and tribulation, what he was saying was he sees that the guests of the wedding are in place in heaven before the bride.
Yes.
Now, this was his thinking of it. So what he's saying is, if we're Gentiles, because we're Gentiles, we're guests, that we go before, and this, I'm just saying what he's saying, I'm not saying it myself, but what he was saying was, if we are the guests, and then we can go any time, and we can go before all the wrath and tribulation, which the bride, who wasn't prepared, has to go through.
Yeah.
Now, I don't really go along with that theology. I want to hear more of his explanation of what he's thinking.
Thank you.
I think it's clear that there is, well, let's put it this way. The semi-conventional thinking from the way I have heard people discuss it is Israel is certainly a remnant first covenant bride to God. And we associate Christ with God, and we are not entirely sure exactly how much separation there is. However, the Abrahamic covenant, let's put it this way, the Abrahamic Hebrew covenant God has the Jewish remnant as a bride. And that is the remnant that goes through the tribulation and is protected in the desert or in the wilderness, somewhere around Israel. Then there's the bride of Christ. And the bride of Christ is the bride of faith. So maybe if we put it in a different category, we have two covenants. We have two groups of people who are in relationship with God. And the natures of their relationships are, in terms of the nation of Israel, strictly speaking, they're still under the law.
Right.
Because they have not recognized completely the Holy Spirit and their Messiah. So that is the bride of the law, if you will.
Yeah.
Which is an awkward place to be, because God himself says in Scripture that that the law is, it's the law of death. It's not the law of life.
Right.
So that's a weird association to work through. And then there's the bride, in my opinion, the bride of the Spirit. We're mm-hmm. in the age of grace, which is like the age of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was endowed to the earth and mankind on Pentecost after the cross, and it is that relationship that he is seeking people to grow into, to become associated with the Spirit of God and the heart of God, which is higher than the law. And I believe, since it's higher, it's only fitting to think there is a bride in that relationship. And this is what I think he has missed. But he admittedly was prompted by something he saw on somebody else's video, and he's sort of connecting dots right now. So really what I think we're hearing from him in his video is sort of thinking out loud. And it'll be very interesting to see his second video, or his video continuing this theme, where he's at by the time he's done with that video. Because
it didn't make sense to me.
Well, first of all, he didn't ever fully explain it, because he talked about talking about it instead of just laying it out there. And God bless him; he's fine, you know. And he
I love him.
And
I think he's precious.
Yeah, yeah.
He's precious.
And so I really appreciate that. And You know, he's one of those guys, obviously, in the Northeastern culture who are just, you know, they live in this gruffer sort of, you know, stereotypical culture. But one of the things that I've often noticed is that there are some people whose response to that, and credit to the guys who are able to do that, some of them actually become nicer in the midst of it. And he's one of those guys. He's one of those guys. And so I appreciate him. But I think he just doesn't have complete thoughts yet. But what he was really getting out of it, what was touching him emotionally, was that the guests get to go before the Jewish remnant bride. But the other thing is, there's this difficult relationship between God and the nation of Israel, the people of Israel.
Yeah.
I think it was Haggai, wasn't he the one who had to marry a prostitute? And
yes.
She went away a bunch of times and he had to go back and bring her back and all that.
God was teaching them something.
Well, that was a metaphor for God's relationship with Israel, and this was part of the message of Haggai.
Yes. Yes.
And he made Haggai live out
in the
physical realm a metaphor by God of his relationship with the nation of Israel, with the people of Israel. It's an interesting thing. So it's a whole different, when you're talking about the Israel, the bride of the people of Israel, not the bordered nation, but the people, the tribes of Jacob, then you have this very kind of disjointed fits and starts kind of thing going. And I don't believe that is a fit description of the ultimate spiritual level bride of Christ. So I do believe there's a bridal marital relationship between God and the people of Israel, the tribes of Israel, but I also the remnant in particular. However, it seems to me that in the spiritual realm, in the spiritual age, in the recognition of Christ, that there is another bride to go along with that high anointing, because I don't think, it just seems that that's the case to me.
Let me put it this
way.
I'm not going up there as a guest. I want to marry the man.
There you go.
Don't tell me
there
he can't be my husband, because I will toss you right out of heaven. And I'm talking for
there
all
you
of
go.
You. Don't tell me I'm a guest, because I'll run right up there to the hoopla and say, hey, look at us. We're here. We're your bride. Marry us.
Right.
I don't think you're
going to
go
exactly.
through this day up here and not be married to us.
Yeah.
Oh, don't put it past me, honey. And I'll carry you all in my heart when I tell them.
Yep. Well, yeah. And I don't think I tell you, I have to admit, I've been led through, as many of us, if not all of us have been, led through a series of expectations where the expectations we had weren't exactly met. And I don't think that's one where he's going to fall short, however. He's had his purposes in what he's doing, but that's one I don't think he's going to let slide by.
Better not.
No.
You want to talk about one exactly. disappointed person.
Yep, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah.
So
yes.
let me catch up the chat real quick, because Carol has popped into chat.
Hi, Carol.
And they're having a little bit of discussion. I'm going to kind of just read and see what's going on there. Okay. Rosemary says the world is shaking on the verge of all-out war, and Obama makes a speech about rejecting the oil pipeline. Exactly.
I know.
Well, you know, this is what they do. You know, well, you know, this is actually ancient political tradition. You know, when a president's policies for domestic, when a president's domestic policies aren't doing well and are unpopular, all of a sudden they start talking about international events and policies.
Nonsense.
And when their international policy is in the gutter and a huge embarrassment, which is the case right now, then they start talking about, you know, anything controversial in the U.S. or domestic policy in order to take attention away from their mm-hmm. apparent failures. Now, in this case, you know, the thing about Obama is that he fails intentionally. And a few people are beginning to figure this out. In fact, I saw an article yesterday where there's a whole bunch of people in the Pentagon starting to get kind of unhappy with Obama because of the way he's handling certain... Yes. And believe me, okay, now the people in the Pentagon, these are not people who are very far from his sympathies, okay?
Right.
For the most part, but, I mean, a whole bunch of the top echelon there are right in line with the apparatchik of the rest of our elite government. However... Mm-hmm. He is putting them in a very difficult spot because they are being made very uncomfortable having to answer for him to the rank and file who are living by the rules that they're told exist. And then when they see the government and their chief executive not living and the administration not sticking to the rules that they have to live by, that puts the commanders in the military in a very awkward place.
So they
are squealing like, well, I'm not going to use the term, but because there's a historical thing which I'm not affiliated with. But nevertheless, Rosemary says, like Nero filling while Rome burns. Well, he is Nero. He literally is Nero, and that is exact. Not only is he fiddling, Rosemary, he's dancing at the same time. Let's make no mistake.
He can't play fiddle.
This guy's absolute purpose is to be complicit in the destruction not only of this nation, but of the bulk of the world. This is what he's here to do, and that's why God has allowed him to be here and has flipped his on switch as an antichrist-like figure is because he's doing what he's doing on purpose, and he's doing it with the approval of God, even though he does not have that spiritual leading. God is using evil for his purposes through him and others. And by the way, yes, they're saying now a bomb was detonated on the plane, and I started to see some of that. I was looking at some of the pictures, the crash debris, and I found a picture of that some other people have isolated on also. And I don't believe that the hole in the craft was created by the explosion. In fact, I can actually tell you what it was created by. That was there was a picture, however, where a whole bunch of the metal was actually sucked in. And this is, that's an indication of internal explosion, even though it sounds counterintuitive.
Yeah.
That's an indication of an internal explosion. And so it does look like a bomb did take that down, even though I still think there's some curiosity about a missile. But nevertheless, the evidence, I think, does point to a bomb, internal bomb, taking that aircraft down. The picture of the skin of the aircraft, Abu had it on a video, and I've seen it elsewhere. They don't really talk about it in detail, but that was the roof of the aircraft. And it showed clear signs of a huge evacuation, a very low-pressure event, where actually a whole bunch of the metal was sucked in. And this is the secondary effect of the explosion. I believe that was towards the front of the aircraft. And it looks like the bomb probably was in the back of the aircraft. So if a bomb goes off in the back of the aircraft, it creates a high pressure in the cylinder, the tube that is the airplane. But the next thing that happens is it creates a fault in the structure. The aircraft's at 30,000 feet. And even at atmosphere, when you have a bomb go off, there's a big outflow, but then there's the reverse action. Then there's an inflow. And that rapid change in pressure to very high positive pressure to very extreme negative pressure actually can cause a decompression at the same time that aircraft was going to under a decompression. And that's what sucked all the metal in. And then on that one picture, there's a hole that was blown through the fuselage. And people were thinking, well, maybe that's a sign, like Dabu thought it might be a sign of, you know, something being blown out through the skin of the aircraft. What that is, I'm fairly sure, because it's in the ceiling of the aircraft, remember, there's oxygen canisters, pressurized oxygen as an oxygen source in case of an emergency. Well, when the pressure in that aircraft got so low to crumple all the skin inwards, what happened was the pressure differential between the pressure in that air, in the oxygen bottles, and the pressure on the outside of the aircraft became so extreme that the cap on the oxygen bottle didn't stay on, and it popped off and went through the skin. And that's, I believe, what made the hole in that aircraft skin, not part of the bomb. Because I think the bomb was in the back of the airplane, and that picture of that white skin with the window and everything sort of sucked in and pressed down like a vacuum form type thing, that, I believe, was towards the front and the top of the aircraft. So that's just a rush of observations that I've had. So let's see. Rishmer says she hears there are 45,000 Russian tourists in Egypt now. And, they're stuck. They can't get out. Well,
they're stuck. They can't get out. They stopped everything.
They'll work it out eventually. The rest of Egypt is probably not that much of a danger right now. And this is not the kind of thing they want to do over and over anyway. The point has been made, I think, is the thing. You know,
after the Russians.
The point has been made. I don't think, they don't have to do it over and over. They can do it once, and that has multiplied effects. Let's see.
I agree.
Not
Rainier is interesting.
Those poor people on that flight, but also
17 with children.
It's such a
sick thing.
Is just a sick thing for people to do, but we live in a sick world, and
they were
the
rejoicing.
Idea that somebody would do that.
Yeah, and rejoice over it.
Yeah. I mean, let me tell you, we live in a world where there is a pervasively growing spirit of being anti-human. Okay?
Yeah, I believe it.
And
I believe
the
it.
Active government-related environmental movement is anti-human. If you look at every policy they promote, in the end, the goal is to make life harder and more expensive for humanity. Now, they'll say just the opposite, okay? And there are some people, I mean, like, who doesn't want clean drinking water, right? Nobody wants all of the forest to be cut down. You see what I mean? But when they shift from that to policy and start passing laws and being advocates for laws, when you see the rules that are made, in the end, they're anti-human. It's taking the cultural societal clock and turning it backwards. For example, they have energy-saving light bulbs. Well, one of the ways they're energy saving is instead of being 100 watts, they're 72 watts. Okay? They also have these compact CFCs or whatever they call them, compact fluorescents. And they also operate at a lower total wattage. And, yeah, they theoretically last longer, but guess what? They're filled with environmental toxins.
Mm.
So when they're thrown away, it's, you know, all of the stuff we're not supposed to do, they, you know, in terms of disposing of things like mercury and other toxic substances, when they get thrown away, you know, they have endorsed through public policy the spreading of those toxins that they would raise unholy hell if we were to do it by ourselves. And, you know, I call them all darkness-saving light bulbs because that's what they do. They save darkness because the purpose of the light bulb is to make light. But when they make them less powerful and toxic, they're just saving darkness. You know, it's a placebo. It's like, okay, so, you know, now I have to go out and get my 150-watt light bulb to get as much light as I had from a 100-watt light bulb. And, oh, by the way, now my 150-watt light bulbs are only 125 watts or whatever the number is. You know, it's just scaling everything down, okay? It's just scaling everything down, and they're making it harder in every way for people to live. And it doesn't help anything from a human point of view. All it does, all it's doing, this whole energy-saving kick across particularly our nation and in other places in the world, all it does is allow them to bill more customers with the same infrastructure. That's all it does. That's all it does. It increases the profit margins of the energy, the power supply companies. That's what it does. Because otherwise, you know, because this whole carbon, you know, environmental wacko, whatever stuff, it's all a lie. It's all a distortion of reality. None of it is based in truth. Or if it's based in any truth at all, it's based in the smallest sliver of truth wrapped with a whole bunch of political agenda. And it's the political agenda that they're aiming at every human being through law, taxes, expenses, so on and so forth. Okay, so there's my rant.
Yeah, okay.
Go ahead, Pat.
No, just I respect Tom Lipshew, you know, his Tom Lipshew, and he just had out about how Mount Rainier is rumbling in black smoke or something, so this is the next thing to watch. And, you know, when one thing happens, it's going to set off, like, veins to other things, so I just have a bad feeling about Cascadia area because all those areas are kind of, like, hooked up together, so we keep a close watch on that,
right.
You know. Yeah.
Right.
My landlady called. She's trying to we're talking, oh, please, God, say prayers for me. It's like I'm remembering what the Lord said, occupy until he comes. Well, the landlady wants to sell us a house, and she's talking to my daughters and me tomorrow about selling us a house, and it's like, I mean, it'll lower my monthly things, but, you know, we're not going to be here that long. But I guess I'm going to go through the motions and whatever. It's not going to hurt, and whatever happens anyway, I'm just, pray for me that we make the right decisions tomorrow. She's a lovely Christian lady. She's trying to work with us and whatever, so we'll see.
Yeah.
And talking about the rapture, it's like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, so I need prayers for tomorrow, guys.
Well, I can tell you with that, I'm having to walk something through here truthfully makes me think, and I have every impression, I don't have a direct word from God, but I have every impression that he's going to ask me to walk this thing through, and that could take up to 2 or 3 months.
Wow.
So, however,
I tell Jesus. Yeah.
I also had something today that would indicate that was a flirt for us being out of here in the next 2 weeks.
Okay. Oh, wow.
And that by the way, that by the way, is what I put in the text box for the show. It's Acts 18. He specifically led me to 18:12, and then if you read 18:11, and he stayed there 1 year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them. And I'm not going to get into that too much, but that was an encouragement to me, and it would lead me to the middle of November. And that has one of at least 3 different things that leads me to around the middle of November. So Rosemary and everybody in chat, if you don't call in, which is just a minute, then just check out Acts 18, and particularly around the verses 9 through 13. But it's a story about Paul and teaching and him making the decision to not try to teach the Jews anymore, and some other things. And the names are a little out of the ordinary, but I'm just saying this is what he led me to today, and see how he leads you through it. I'm going to read it here in pretty soon, but for those who do not hear it, that's primarily where I'm going here in the second hour. So we will see.
Yeah, so just pray for me that it works out, you know, that we can, whatever, you know, because it's just stuff going on, you know, and I give it to the Lord, and that's what I do. I tease him. I say, you know, all these delays, I mean, I kind of had it not out with him today, sort of, but just venting. And I said, why don't you take us on your birthday? That'll be happy birthday to you. You know, that'll be a good time to take everybody. So,
right. Right. Let me play a song real quick. I have to see. I've got to check a call out here.
I was blown away. What could I say? It all seemed to make sense. You're taking away everything, and I can't deal with that. I try to see the good in life. The good things in life are hard to find.
not over, and neither is the show. I was trying to get Judy on the line, but my phone doesn't always cooperate. Tonight it did not. She called me just as the show went into the second hour. So anyway, Judy says hi to everybody.
Sure. Hi, Judy.
And she had just gotten the opportunity to call, and she tried to call in. It wouldn't work. And anyway, such is life. So anyway, so she's got her hands full, as usual. So anyway,
sure.
So what I thought I would do here, I want to read some of Acts 18. Today is one of those days where he led me to a particular verse, and he actually led me to Acts 18:12. And I thought, well, what in the world is that? And then I realized there is a connection. First of all, 18:12 was like the War of 18:12, and that was a war with the British. And it was about, it wasn't announced publicly, but it was a war about instituting a federal banking system like the Federal Reserve we have now over the United States. That's what it was really about. And after the war was over, in fact, they did. So then Andrew Jackson won a presidency about disabling it, and he successfully disabled it. Was shot as thanks, but survived. Or did they attempt to shoot him? I think he was shot. Anyway, he survived. And he blamed it on the bankers. So anyway, 1812 is similar to today because the Lord has led us to the understanding that the British, in keeping with Saudis and others, but the British are definitely involved in the undermining of this nation right now. And so we have sort of a secret fifth column British attempt to undermine the United States. And in particular, the freedoms that this population of this nation is familiar with. This is one of the reasons the borders have all been dropped, basically, is to dilute the culture. Because this is a population of people who actually understand what to do with freedom. They understand that it is okay to expect transparency in government, although we haven't had it for a long time. It's a sort of an ethic and a sort of consideration of other people and freedom that if it is overcome in this nation, there will be no hope in the world for anyone to stand up for those things. So anyway, this is the attempt. It's part of the socialist communist undercurrent of all of the elites in the world right now. And we are headed rapidly, not only to a socialist ideal in our governments around the world through the elites, we're headed to literally a corporately run world where the corporations, these international conglomerates through their elite handlers or guiders, are going to be determining government policy without the consultation of the electorate. And that's what the Pacific Trade Pact is all about. That's what it's all about. And I just read that two of the Republican presidential candidates, Rubio and Ben Carson, have endorsed the Pacific Trade Pact. And they are either ignorant or they are in line with the system.
Yeah.
One or the other. So okay, so Acts 18. So the verse of Acts 18:12, which he led me to, is sort of a weird one. While Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews made a united attack against Paul and brought him to the judge's bench. Well, Gallio was proconsul under, and he was actually the brother of Seneca, a famous orator. He was the son of Seneca the Elder and the elder brother of Seneca the Younger. And he was later adopted by a guy named Junius Gallio. Why he was adopted, I do not know. But he was, maybe as an apprentice, I'm not sure. But anyway, he became proconsul. He was always close to the top of the government, at least for the 64 years of his life. And So this is what Paul experienced. Now, I'm going to read a little more here because there's a context to it, and then I'll give you one or two more thoughts. Let's see if I can find a good place to start. Well, I'm going to start here in Acts 18. Well, let's see, after this. So this, I believe, is in Corinth. And beginning in verse 4, he reasoned in the synagogue, this is Paul, he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and tried to persuade both Jews and Greeks. When Silas and Timothy came down from Macedonia, Paul was occupied with preaching the message and solemnly testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Messiah. But when they resisted and blasphemed, he shook his robe and told them, "Your blood is on your own heads. I am innocent. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." So he is disavowing these Jews who kept attacking him. They would not hear. They would not hear the message of Christ. And he's finally said, "I'm to heck with you. I'm done with you. Your blood is on your own hands. I will no longer preach to the Jews." So it says, verse 7, he said, "So he left there and went to the house of a man named Titus Justus, a worshiper of God, whose house was next door to the synagogue. Crispus, the leader of the synagogue, believed the Lord, along with his whole household. Many of the Corinthians, when they heard, believed and were baptized." So here's the leader of the synagogue, believed in Jesus as Messiah, but the religious Jews wouldn't accept him. Then the Lord said to Paul in a night vision, "Don't be afraid, but keep on speaking and don't be silent." So this is the Lord saying to Paul, literally, quote, "Don't be afraid, but keep on speaking and don't be silent, for I am with you, and no one will lay a hand on you to hurt you, because I have many people in this city." That's what God said. I played two songs about being brave at the beginning of the show. Verse 11, "And he stayed there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them." Now, in all humility, keeping in mind that the Lord gave me this verse, just before, that's 18:11. Verse 18:12 is the Lord one he directly led me to, and this is the story that it's within. And what it brought to my mind was, I started calling in and sharing on in our Rapture Centric Church in the middle of May last year. And when I saw this year and a half, and I knew he gave me this verse as an encouragement to me, and I have a context that's a little bit different than this. I'm not struggling with the Jews per se, but I have a context here where this was an encouragement for me, because how long we stay here matters really, really a lot in what he's having me do right now. And I don't know that it means it's when we go, but I do know it means he was giving me encouragement. So, and he said, and he stayed there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. So 1 year and 6 months after when I started calling in and sharing just after the middle of November.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so this is what it said to me personally. He says, so anyway, this is verse 12. "While Gallio was a proconsul of Achaia, the Jews made a united attack against Paul and brought him to the judge's bench. So they took him before the judge of that area, and they accused him. And they say, 'This man,' they said, 'persuades people to worship God contrary to the law.'" Exclamation point.
Yeah, right.
As Paul was about to open his mouth, Gallio said to the Jews, in other words, you wouldn't even let Paul speak. He said, "If it were a matter of a crime or a moral evil, it would be reasonable for me to put up with you Jews. But if these are questions about words, names, and your own law, see to it yourselves. I don't want to be a judge of such things." So he drove them from the judge's bench. So he said, he literally made them go away. But then it says, "Then they all seized Sosthenes, the leader of the synagogue, who must then be the same person as Crispus, apparently, or associated with Crispus, because anyway, the name here is Sosthenes. It's written, the leader of the synagogue. So the leader of the synagogue was standing there with Paul, supporting him, and says, and beat him in front of the judge's bench, but none of these things concern Gallio. Okay, Sosthenes means, it was a popular Greek name at the time, and it means savior of the nation. And so the Jews with Paul seized the savior of the nation and beat him in front of the judge.
Wow.
Now, that's just like saying the Jews, and I'm not against the Jews. We understand that there's subtleties involved here in the plan of God, but literally, this is like God giving a metaphor, you know, showing through the acts of these people, even the names of the persons involved. This is like God having to watch as the judge, the Jews, sees Jesus and beat him.
Yeah. Wow.
Because he was the savior of the nation, the Messiah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's what I have for that. All I can say really is,
good.
I know it's slightly obscure passage, but it spoke to me in my circumstance, and there's a little more in it digging down, but that's really not important. The point is, he gave that to me today. It might have something else for somebody else. You know, Faith, for example, sometimes when she listens to things, it'll connect with things that she has, or Jason, or whomever. And either way, it was an encouragement for me to see that verse just before in 1811 of teaching for a year and a half in Corinth. And oh, by the way, you know what? Let me look something up. Let's see if I can do that. Excuse me. Quintus.
I know, I hear you. Loud and clear.
This is interesting. I don't even know what to make of this, but Corinth means satiated. So I guess I'm going to just turn it. Two ports. That's interesting. That's like two covenants. And they worshipped Venus. I will have to. I may poke around on that just a little bit more, because I can't even give you a very good definition of the word satiated right now. Not one I'm content with. So so that's what he led me to today. I can't. Well, I think we see that the events of the world are moving forward. I don't know how long it's going to take us to see our departure, but we are looking for boots on the ground. I did see an article a day or two ago, some insider information, and I think it was from it was written on the website Zero Hedge, claimed to have insider information, you know, like at high-level, government-level type stuff, that the Russians have 4,000 troops on the ground in Syria right now, and which they're not publicizing, and Russians have fought and died in Syria, and they're trying to keep it secret.
Oh, Jesus, dear.
And none of that would be any surprise, and we are looking for boots on the ground through Judy's thing, and so we'll see how that goes. Her vision that she had, she said, continues to say it was very powerful. We're looking for a major Russian military presence on the ground, we think, in Syria. And it should be coming, and we'll see how that goes. That's kind of where I'm at right now. I have too much on my plate at home right now to do much garage work. I kind of apologize, I feel like, because I know there's some things there. There's stuff that we have. Jason and I have gone back and forth we could talk about. I'm just not in a place where I can share it right now. In fact, I've done more show tonight than I really thought I'd be able to do. So, anyway, continuing to go on, and someday that'll all be, you know, I can share it with y'all.
You want the interpretation of the Bible? If you don't get all your garage work done, we're not going to beat you up.
Thank you.
Just needed to tell you. Okay. I have to mute because the dogs are going crazy.
I appreciate that, Pat. I very much. yeah.
Got a way of telling you.
Yep. Well, that's I appreciate that, because I will take any assurance that I can get right now. I just wanted
me to tell you that. He did. When you were reading that flash, you know how God gives you flash things? He wanted me to tell you that. It's a little joke here, you know, like, you're home free. You don't worry about it.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, I'm familiar with his funny ways.
Oh, yes.
He's a little teaser. He's a little teaser sometimes, too.
Yes, he is.
You know,
he's got a sense of humor.
And where he is concerned, I can dish it out, but I can't take it. Let's put it that way.
Listen, I tease him. I say, you know, you're such a gentle, meek lamb of God married to a foghorn. I said, I hope opposites attract, because if they don't, I'm toast. And he said, it's like he makes the challenge of dealing with me. You know, like, he loves a challenge, so he'll deal with me. He'll make me into what he wants. He's got his work cut out.
Yeah.
Poor Jesus.
Well, we're doing the best we can. He's got me on quite an unusual task right now. And let's just say unexpected. But, you know, I enjoy sharing, and I enjoy having things to share with everybody. And I want to support.
Sure.
Our fellowship, and right now he's got me pretty marginalized. It's all for real. I literally ask him about it several times a day because of what it's about. And but he's given me an answer. He's given me insight. I asked him for some biblical insight of what I'm going through, and he answered right away. And he showed me some things and gave me understanding, which I actually have spoken about on the show, but. Not so much in the detail of how it relates to me, but
okay.
I get it. I understand it. I understand what I'm going through on the human level. I understand what I'm going through in the spiritual level, and I understand what I'm going through in terms of his leading of me. And so the thing is, it's still not easy. And
it's not easy.
And he's going to have to get me through it. So. Enough about that. Well, yeah, it's just hard, you know, it's just hard, but anyway, I know what he's having me do, and I absolutely see in the end, even now, the benefits of it. And I absolutely see in the end other benefits of it. And so I'm going to do my best, but it's, of course, you know. It's just what it is. So so Pat, did you have anything else that you were
No. I just had to interject that about when you were reading the Bible.
That's awesome. Well, I really do. Yeah. I do.
And I was like, are you sure you want me to say that? It's like, what if he doesn't get it, you know? And I think what you did. We won't be
yeah.
tough.
Yeah. Well,
so
I very
tonight.
Much appreciate that. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
Oh,
thank you,
my
Pat.
Gosh, he's too much. He's too much.
Delivering that message. Well, you know, look, you know what? Just the fact that he would have you deliver that message to me right now tells you something about where I'm at.
Yeah.
Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
It tells you something
about where
I'm at.
He's trying to get you to smile some.
That's it.
Because he knows you take everything to heart. It's like the weight of the world on your shoulders. You know, yeah. And you'll bear it. You will. You'll do whatever he wants. And for as long, whether you understand it or not,
yes.
And you will come through.
Yeah.
You know, he's put a lot on you. You know, he has. A lot. But you're leading the rest of us, too. You know, you're teaching. He's teaching through you. He's speaking through you to teach us, to wake us up, or to just give us more information or wake people up out there who are listening. Remember, these vids are going to be left for when we're gone, and they're up in heaven. So he's going to maybe use these vids to teach others up there who kind of need a teaching, you know? Not everybody who comes to heaven is like...
Right.
Got it all, you know.
Yeah,
so
right.
These things are going to be. He's going to have people listen to all of us. You know what we've said over these years, and it's going to be.
Uh-huh.
It's going to mold them better for heaven, because there's things they got to know. You know, there's people go up there and they're kind of messed up a little bit. You know, but he loves them and they love Jesus, but they got a lot of learning to do and they got a lot of explaining to do. Don't we all?
Right.
Yeah, anyway, so that's that.
Yeah, well, the phrase puppet on a string has occurred to me more than once the last couple of days.
As
but,
long as you're his puppet and he's got the strings, don't worry. You're blessed.
Yeah, you know, but it's...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's hard.
You know, we can have God's assurance. We can know he's in it. He can give us consistent answers every day in a difficult situation.
I know.
He can give us understanding at multiple levels, and at the end of the day,
but
in human terms, it's still hard, and it can still be scary. And,
just say, Jesus, I trust you. Jesus, I trust you. Yeah. I find that gives me a lot of peace. I say, Jesus, I trust you. I might not understand everything, and I know I'm not perfect, but I would never hurt you or anybody. I trust you, and I want to build up your kingdom, not tear it down. So I trust you. So you have something to say to me, or you want me to do something, make sure I get it, you know, especially me, because I'm like the dummy two of the lot. But I have to talk to him like that and say, make sure I get it. Holy Spirit, make sure I get it.
And you know what he tells me when I say that?
What?
He says, walk the plank. Walk the plank. Walk the plank.
Well, he knows you can do it. Not everybody can do that. He doesn't tell me to walk the plank.
I'm joking.
I would take him by the hand and jump off
words.
With him. I mean, come on. You know, I'm pretty tough that way. I'm very
mouthy.
He doesn't
use those words. But that's,
I know. But it's like, you know, I'm just totally honest with him. Cards on the table. You should hear the conversations. You wouldn't want to hear the conversations we have sometimes. Because you would say, you're talking to God. Well, yeah, I know I'm talking to God, but I'm totally honest. I'm totally honest. Because I'm walking by blind faith. Stop right now.
That's what we need to do.
Oh, the dogs are insane. They bark at everything. It's like penance. I'm telling you. They're sweet. They're very sweet. Shut them up. That is enough.
Well, anyway, I think
I'm muting.
I appreciate it, Pat.
I'm
thank
muting.
You. Thank you very much.
I have to
you know
mute.
What? That's perfect timing. I'm going to send this out with a couple of songs.
Okay.
Speaking of having fun and something else. So thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Pat.
God
thank
bless
everybody.
Everybody.
We'll,
love you all.
See you
here for everybody.
In the air.
Hang
or on
in
the air.
There, guys. Hang in there. Oh, jeepers. Hang in there. Be happy. Anyway, try.
It's the end of the world. Praise God.
Praise God.
God.
Okay. You like to hear that.
That's great. It starts with an earthquake, birds and snakes, an airplane. And Lenny Bruce is not afraid. I have a hurricane. Listen to yourself. Turn world serve its own needs. Dummy serve your own needs. Beat it up and not speak. Grunt no strength. The ladder starts to clatter with fear. Fight down. High wire in a fire. Representing seven games in the government for high.
it's the end of the world as we know it. It's the end of the world as we know it. And I feel fine.
Of the Lord.